Good morning, everyone. We welcome you to the Sunday morning roundtable discussion with our subject on ancient and modern necromancy, alias mesmerism and hypnotism, denounced. A mouthful, but a good lesson. So thank you so much for joining us today. We are recording from the Plainfield Christian Science Church Independent, Plainfield, New Jersey, the United States of America, and we warmly welcome you all. And Florence will begin with the prayer.
Yeah, I'm reading from page 154 of Watchers, Prayers, and Arguments. Children, you are a perfect thought of God, made in His image and likeness, surrounded by His love, as by a strong fortress, through which no evil can reach you. God is your mind, your life, your strength, and you are governed by truth and love. You have no material conception or birth, no father and mother in the flesh. You were not born of the flesh, mortal mind, and you are not the reflection of beliefs. Belief is not reflection. You are not weak or easily led astray. You cannot desire to rule and lead others. You are not rebellious or obstinate. You have no human will. God's will is all, and you are its reflection. Therefore, you will only do right, for you reflect and inherit divine wisdom and understanding. You are spiritual, and spirit knows all things. Sensuality has no power over you, for you are not conscious of the lust of the flesh. But you are the pure conception of truth and love, and co-eternal with your Father, Mother, God. Your every thought and action are love, goodness, tenderness, gentleness, beauty, holiness, joy, and peace, that peace which passeth all human understanding. In God we live, move, and have being. Therefore, we are in life, health, strength forever. To be conscious of this is to be in the presence of God, with the Father, who is life, truth, and love. Amen. We are the children of the King. Why should we mourn? Rebecca Eddy.
Wonderful. Thank you. Well read. That is a perfect treatment for oneself. And years ago, Mrs. Evans gave that watch for us, those of us who had children or knew of children, to use that daily as a prayer. It's very complete and very powerful in Watches, Prayers, and Arguments. Thank you, Florence.
And if the whole Christian Science movement had used that, it would have changed everything. You are not weak or easily led astray. You cannot desire to rule and lead others. You are not rebellious or obstinate.
Thank you. Thank you. It's wonderful. It includes everything, doesn't it? It's really, really good. Thank you so much. Okay, Karen.
Watch number 171. Watch, lest when you think of one as handled by animal magnetism, you accept the notion that perhaps an hour before he was not handled, because then he showed no sign of it. Being handled by animal magnetism means that one has not made a successful effort to be governed by God. Man is seemingly a channel for error whenever he is not a channel for God. One is handled by animal magnetism whenever he is controlled by human thinking. Yet he may be unconscious of the error until something happens which calls his attention to it. It may seem harsh to declare that mortals are handled by animal magnetism, but logic proves that indulgence in human thinking, no matter how harmless it may seem, makes one a channel for error, a condition which shuts out divine mind. If you declare someone to be handled by animal magnetism because he says or does something that is out of keeping with what you feel is good, while you believe that perhaps an hour ago he was not handled because then his speech and action were apparently all right, this shows that you misunderstand what Mrs. Eddy intended to convey by the term. Error is negative, never positive. The correct way to detect the claim of animal magnetism is not so much by what mortal man does as by what he does not do. If he is not striving to reflect divine mind, he is handled by animal magnetism, no matter if his outward actions and speech seem angelic.
Thank you. Okay, comments.
Well, it really shows the importance of bringing every thought into captivity to Christ. It's not just a one and done, or, well, oh, I caught one today. I'm doing great. So if we're not being active, then we're being a channel, even if we're being a humanly good person. I thought that was really helpful.
Thank you very much. That is very, very true.
Yeah, I mean, the command, pray without ceasing, is a very practical requirement, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's for our own good.
Yeah. So this is why to declare as early in the morning, God is my mind, and throughout the day, know that that is the truth, is helpful. Because only in the divine mind are we at one with him and thinking right, doing right.
Thank you.
And that's why Jesus said, watch. Mrs. Eddy said, watch. It's to watch our thinking every moment to make sure that it is one with the divine mind, with God. And even humanly speaking, I was thinking about this week too. Even humanly good thinking, and there are a lot of good humanly thinking people, but there's still a channel for animal magnetism, and that's right. That's so. It's watching all the time, our thinking. Where art thou?
I think that was one of the many things I was so very grateful for in what they call the unauthorized literature, Carpenter particularly, where he deals with this human goodness. Because I don't know, I don't think I knew the difference between human goodness and goodness with a capital G, divine goodness. And there is a big difference. And in keeping that from the world, keeping those books hidden in the archives, as Jeremy just said, it's a grave injustice to the world, because now so many people think humanly good things going on in the world, going on in the government, they're not really good. And some of the unintended consequences are disastrous. If we had been working with this for the last 100 plus years, we would be farther along. I'm sure of it. So anyway, now we have work to do. All of us, and it always starts with ourselves, watching our own thinking. Mrs. Eddy says the habitual struggle to be always good is unceasing prayer. And that we were instructed here should be the only habit that you have. And if you are struggling to be always good, you won't have any other so-called bad habits, because you will be repelled by anything that's not of God.
And it's not only that, we are, when we look at the learning how to heal in the playing field, it means that humility comes about, surrendering to taking up what really is and not the new thought. Too much of the current Boston teaching is too new thought, you know. It's too, okay, let's just sweep it under the carpet instead of taking a stand. And taking a stand means that sometimes we sit there alone waiting with God, you know. Sometimes we will find, she says, in The Science of Health, I'm going to paraphrase, that we are without friends, you know, human friends. And we are with God. So God, so we learn to have a relationship with God.
Thank you. Yeah, the whole key is humility, because when you're humble and knowing you're nothing without the Father, then that divine goodness, all things come to you. All right, we've had a lot of opposition to the teaching of this lesson on animal magnetism, and we just are having to deal with something. So let's see, where were we?
The habitual struggle to always be good.
Yes, thank you. The habitual struggle to be always good is unceasing prayer. And in this lesson, in 4, in Science and Health, this is Eddie says, the notion that both evil and good are real is a delusion of material sense, which science annihilates. Evil is nothing. No thing, mind, nor power. As manifested by mankind, it stands for a lie, nothing claiming to be something. And then it lists lust, dishonesty, selfishness, envy, hypocrisy, slander, hate, theft, adultery, murder, dementia, insanity, inanity, devil, hell, with all the et ceteras of that word includes. Now, anytime that those things, you find them in your thinking, you can know you are being handled by animal magnetism. All of the whole list. And I find it very helpful if you ever begin to feel selfish, depressed, ungrateful, jealous, all of those things are an indication you're not in the right mind, and to cast it out and to be alert and aware. And this is why, it's okay, leave her alone now. This is why we watch our thinking. We have the watches going on really 24/7, don't we? To be alert and aware how animal magnetism would try. So anyone else on the watching point?
And we need to be aware that it will try. It will try.
It will.
Yes. So don't be afraid. Don't be, you know, don't be impressed. And don't be so proud that you are, you know, you feel like you need to keep anybody else from seeing it or feeling it or whatever. It'll try. So be ready and have the humility to deal with it. And when you do, yeah, and when you do, you might even be surprised at how effective your work and how quickly it leaves you and how quickly you benefit from having handled it.
Yes.
It's only telling a lie about the truth that's present.
That's
well,
it.
Well, exactly. The lie is, you know, it can be a blessing, and it should be a blessing, because it shows the existence of the truth that it is the lie about. And that is the only value that the lie has to you.
It's interesting to me because the topic of this ancient and modern necromancy, alias mesmerism and hypnotism denounced. So all of this witchcraft, anything that's not right in the world, it is hypnotism and mesmerism. And we denounce it as unreal and untrue because God never said it. Go ahead, Michael.
Yeah, just along with what Gary said, you know, having read some of her some of these accounts of Mrs. Eddy, when she would make any major decision, like a move or moving homes or any major decision within her church, people wouldn't know about it until after it was already done. She gave, so back to what Gary was saying, expect opposition or don't be surprised by it, but she wasn't naive enough to give it a chance. So mom was the word. She didn't talk about it until it was done, and then gave very little chance for anyone to, or anything to oppose it. And so she was wise in that she had the practical way of dealing with it, but also obviously metaphysically, she was also prepared to deal with it as well.
Thank you.
Well, and this is an important point. This is warfare, right? And the greatest advantage you can have over the enemy is the element of surprise. She was guided, she was directed by God to establish this church and to establish, you know, the book, to write the book. And she knew that there would be opposition. I mean, she felt it every day, didn't she?
Yes, she did.
So she, when she was in the position to direct things, she directed them. She didn't, you know, she had to trust people. Some of them weren't, turned out to be trustworthy, and some of them turned out to be untrustworthy. But she had a few trustworthy people around her that she could trust, and she gave them instructions, directions. And she moved this church along as quickly as God directed her. And she, you're right, she had the wisdom to do. And there really wasn't any reason, was there, for her to announce what she was going to do before she did it? I mean, that would be kind of silly.
There'll be no point, I don't think.
No. And we need to be just as quick, don't we?
And that's, you know, that's exhibiting the wisdom. Wisdom always accompanies love and anything else we do. We must be wise with what we do. And God directs this. It's not done out of fear. It's not because you're afraid. It's just wisdom. And there's a big difference. You know, some people who don't want to give testimonies because, I don't know, they're afraid of something, malpractice usually or something like that. Well, that's if God is directing you, maybe it's not the right time or something else. But if we all listen to that voice, no one would do anything. So this is a matter of wisdom as God directs you what to do and what not to do. But if God is directing you to do it, you should do it.
And you know, Mrs. Eddy, I think it's a direct quote, Mrs. Eddy has written, "Be so instant in truth that error is always too late."
Mm-hmm.
Again, this is warfare, isn't it? Truth doesn't coddle error, it destroys it.
And it's interesting in the watching point, you know, someone can be listening with God and then perhaps get lured away and not. So we must always be watching and alert in our own thought and then with others too. So, but God directs, God knows. And I love what Lenny said, you know, just because you've maybe handled one thought during the day doesn't mean
you're done.
Not by a long shot. But one thing that keeps you above and beyond all of this truly is gratitude. And when you feel you don't have anything to be grateful for, or you're lacking in gratitude, then
you're in the wrong mind.
You are in the wrong mind, and you need to smack yourself around until you are grateful, because air is trying to sell you a load of its goods, and you're not going to listen to it. It's luring you away. Gratitude is essential, and I think that is why Mrs. Eddy says ingratitude is the unpardonable sin. And also when she saw a person, one of her students, grateful, she knew they were safe. Mm-hmm. So make sure you keep your gratitude. That's why we have our testimony meeting every week. It's why we had our beautiful Thanksgiving service. You keep in that grateful state, and not just grateful for your things, but grateful for God Almighty and His goodness. That's why we praise Him, praise Him, praise Him, praise Him, praise the everlasting King.
And that's why you will find a good practitioner will always have a joyful disposition, right? Remember yesterday in our Bible study, we were talking about John Randall. And interesting, Tom was saying how, you know, every report that we have about him, he was always a joyful guy and positive guy. Well, he was a good working scientist, and that's why he had a positive attitude. And that should be a good example for all of us.
Yeah, the joy and the gratitude essential to any healing. And Big Dale Young says if you're not happy and joyful, you're not practicing the science. So they go hand in hand. Is it always easy? Do you always feel grateful and happy? Maybe not. But you get yourself going. You do it sometimes even when you don't feel it. And pretty soon it'll kick in and you will feel it. And mainly it's your obedience to God. Be obedient, even if you don't feel like it, and you will find out that then you are really grateful. I thought that it was Jenna's testimony on Wednesday where she said, you know, she didn't think she could give a testimony. She's afraid of doing a testimony. And then she did it anyway, right? And she was so happy afterwards. Well, she obeyed God. And it does make you happy. But if you just sit paralyzed, not doing anything, that's what Era wants you to do. And that is a sign that you're hypnotized when you're just stuck and paralyzed, can't seem to do anything. Then get up and do it. Break the mesmerism.
Yeah, 12 years ago this last October, I showed up without a testimony to give. And I felt so that week that I really made a covenant that I was going to show up since then. And, you know, having now 12 years of testimonies, it has meant a lot. And it will mean a lot to you, too. We're not asking anything that we don't do.
Exactly. Exactly. And this was the wisdom handed down to us from Mrs. Evans. Because believe me, I was never going to testify. Luann swore she was never going to testify. There are many of you who have said they're not going to testify. But then you do it. And you find when you don't want do it and don't want to do it, you need to rouse yourself into wanting to do it. And even if you don't give them, even if the service is too busy, thank God we usually run overtime. But you do it anyway. You do it. You have it in reserve. And as Jeremy says, pretty soon you have a whole package full of testimonies.
That's why unceasing prayer is a habitual struggle to be always good. It's not, Mrs. Eddie didn't say it's super easy, don't worry about it.
Now, and in doing these things, you keep yourself from being mesmerized and hypnotized, and you stay in the Father's house. It's very important that we do these things and stay active in the truth. God good governs. And His angels always surround us with His thoughts from God. And if you're not hearing them, it's because you are in this mesmerized state and not listening. Well, get where you are. So.
Reminds me of the Pharisees blocking their ears when Jesus was talking.
Yeah, exactly. So listen, we do. I'm just going to share with you a few things from Collectania that Mrs. Eddy says about animal magnetism. On page 14, rules for overcoming animal magnetism. See what it is trying to do. 2, know that it cannot be done. 3, see that it is not done. And it always comes for some reason, yes, like that. It's trying to do something. So see what it's trying to do and then make sure it doesn't do it. And then to accomplish this, 1, be patient. 2, be meek. 3, be vigilant. 4, be sober. 5, be loving. And then, footsteps of Christian Science. 1, a great light. 2, repentance. 3, obedience. 4, purity. 5, less talk. 6, perfection. Resist evil, love your enemies, return good for evil, etc., etc. And then on page 22, sometimes I seem to hear the voice of the Father like this: "My child, there is nothing in mortal mind to fear, not even the educated thought that knows what it is doing. But these different claims must needs remain until thou art not afraid. They are here only for thee to learn that they cannot harm. When that is learned, their mission is accomplished, and away they go." It says also in Collectanea that anytime Mrs. Eddy had anything to meet, she would ask, "Father, what is it that you want me to learn from this experience?" And also we've talked about when these things cease to bless, they will cease to occur. So they are only here. They only come to teach you a lesson and mainly teach you not to be afraid of it. And when you really learn this lesson, whatever it is that troubles you will dissipate. Because it wasn't real. Hypnotism, mesmerism, illusion. And then when discord is present, remember that when love is pushing upon the senses, evil is aggravated and is forced from unconsciousness to conscious thought. Then be not afraid at such times. Darkness should be seen as the forerunner of great light. Then we may rejoice at such times instead of being filled with fear. So just remember, great light is coming, a great light. How to handle malicious animal magnetism on page 23. Love is all powerful. Love is omnipotent. Love is all. Thy kingdom has come. Thy will is done on earth as it is in heaven. And earth is heaven. I love that. So we're always right here in the Father's house. And when animal magnetism has done its worst, it has done nothing. When it is howled and howled, it has done nothing. And this is something I've lived with. Do we not all understand cowardice never conquers? To get rid of a temptation of any sort or to get out of a difficulty, we are not passive and let the wrong rule the right, but we struggle and thus conquer. We should not avoid the things that hurt us, but repeat them and meet them as their superior. Disease is a coward that leaves when you are not afraid of it. You know, sometimes, I mean, Mrs. Evans was always getting us out of our comfort zone, our comfort box, having us do things I never thought I'd want to do, and including testimonies, but other things too. But when you do it, and you do it with God, and you know you can't do it unless God helps you, you resist and overcome the animal magnetism that says you cannot do it. And great growth follows. So remember this. And don't resist getting out of your comfort zone. And then, go ahead.
And the reason for that is because we are in a warfare. I mean, there is a warfare, good versus evil, truth versus error. And if you're comfortable in your human dream life, you're not a warrior for God. You're not a warrior for right. God requires that we get out of our comfort zone and stand up for what is right, for what is true, because that's what God is. And if we want to, if we strive to be comfortable in this world, you're not going to be happy and you're not going to be of any use to mankind and to God. So that is why we need to be willing to get out of our comfort zone. I mean, a soldier goes into battle, he's not in the comfort zone, right? But if he's well-trained, he will defeat the enemy and he will be better for it, and the world will be better for that defeat. And that is why we are here. And if each one of us on this call recognizes that and appreciates it and takes that task to heart, this world will be a much better place because of it. And God knows the world needs our prayers and our work.
Yeah, our right thinking. Quite a bit in Collectanea, Mrs. Eddy talks about that, not so much studying or even teaching, but doing it, getting out and doing it. That's what we need to do it. Healing, do it. On page 87, in one of Mrs. Eddy's classes, there was a woman who had a strong sense of resentment and condemnation toward her husband, who was very immoral. Mrs. Eddy said to her that Jesus healed the Magdalene by condemning the sin, but not the woman. The lady answered, "Yes, but I have not the consciousness that Jesus had." Whoops. Our leader instantly rebuked this by saying that she could claim the Christ consciousness. I mean, why say you've got the mind of Christ, one mind, only mind, and all of a sudden you deny you have it? Leader instantly rebuked this by saying that she could claim the Christ consciousness, for otherwise she could not heal a single case of sin or sickness. Because who does the healing? It's God, it's the Christ. The student's consciousness was so illumined that her state of mind completely changed toward her husband. And when she returned home, she found him healed. So, and then this, and this kind of goes along with the golden text, which you would read, Jeremy.
Isaiah. "And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep and that mutter, should not a people seek unto their God?"
And you see today so many people seeking something other than God for their answers, whether it's alcohol or psychiatry or tarot cards, or, and then, and this is Collectanea, page 150. Astrology. Belief in a horoscope is a mortal thought, and it does actually affect human lives until it is overcome by Christian Science. How about that? Every human being comes under its influence unless and until we meet it with the truth. Astrologists believe that a man can improve on his horoscope. Mrs. Eddy said we were to know that there was no solar, lunar, or planetary influence. She also speaks of psalmistry and any of that stuff. But you see, because it's a belief and a lot of people are believing it, you can come under it unless you know it has no power over you, because God is the only power. This is why it is important sometimes to know the workings of evil. Many people don't want to do that. It's too upsetting. That's in Collectanea too, where, you know, she said she's one that always has to handle animal magnetism because her students just want to talk about love. Well, when you get to that point.
And this is not something to be superstitious about. I mean... There are people who come into Christian Science and all of a sudden they get fearful that someone is malpracticing on them or someone is malpracticing someone else, right? Well, yeah, there is such a thing as malpractice in belief, but we can handle it and destroy it in belief and destroy its effect with the truth that Christian Science gives us. That is being a warrior and not just laying down in front of the enemy and accepting it.
Lawrence?
I think that's why what you are knowing is most important. I mean, people are thinking all kinds of things all the time about you, but what you are knowing is the most important, your own thinking.
Thank you. That's it. And if you're knowing the truth, then it's impenetrable.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the importance of doing it, not just reading about it or dreaming about it, but actually doing it, feeling it. Mm-hmm. And then this on page 135. What is it that argues to people you do not want to practice? It is too uphill work, and you can get along without it. What is it that sends people out of town when they are needed at home, that sends them to Europe or some out-of-the-way place when they might be better employed? What says to people, confine your work entirely to the poor and uninfluential? What sends a lady who is in a position to do well in science to a childbed? What unites an unmarried scientist who is promising as such to one who can destroy such usefulness and blight such prospects? What is it?
Animal magnetism,
yes. Animal magnetism at work. So clearly here we were taught whatever your other vocation is, and of course it's important to have a vocation and be working to meet your monetary needs, but your work is always God's work. And wherever you go, you express that Christ truth. And anything that takes you away from doing that is not God's work, and chances are you should not be doing it. So it's just laws and rules that you follow and look for and listen to. It's so easy to get taken off the path. There's so many. I mean, the world's big and interesting sometimes, but if you get caught up in the worldliness and materialism of it, it will end. You will lose your divine destiny and end up with a human destiny, which is not God's plan. And then this on page 65 and 66, which I found very interesting. How do mortals grow into immortals? As darkness grows into light by the darkness disappearing, so John the Revelator caught the true vision of man and the universe. In it, there was no night, no matter, no mortal mind. This state of being is the reality of all scientific consciousness, and it is here and now. Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is already within you, and in proportion as the mortal, which is mortal, even sin, sickness, and death, disappears until the immortal appears. Mortals grow into immortals in the sense only that the mortal is found nothing, and the immortal the only thing, fact, and mode of being. This is science in contradiction to Kant's philosophy that nature makes mortals and in turn mortals make nature. So you see, as you just grow more and more and more into what you know to be the truth, the mortal aspect of it just falls away. It's natural as the light dispels the darkness. And I just thought that was, I don't know whether I ever read that or didn't impress me as much as it did today.
And as that process happens, you realize better and better that you never were a mortal in the first place, that the mortal was never the reality of you in the first place, because it seems so foreign to you as you begin to live your immortality. And as the immortality of your being becomes stronger and stronger and more evident in your life, it's like everything else turns upside down. When you begin to have the mind of Christ, you realize the unreality of any belief that there was in any other mind. This is a process. This is why Earth's preparatory school is so important. This is why, you know, this is why a good church is so important. So that's why we do what we do.
In an article Carrie sent, she writes, well, part of his quoting too, should not a people seek unto their God? And it's referred to the shadow of Egypt, which is something in Isaiah talking about the shadow of Egypt. They put their trust in the Pharaoh. They put their trust in the shadow of Egypt. And the shadow of Egypt, which had darkened and delayed the onward march of Israel over 2,000 years, was the belief of life and matter, an illusion, mirage, shadow, scientifically proved to be unreal, that in spite of its inventions and so-called progress, trust in it as only confusion and looking for strength to the Pharaoh of material methods has led only to shame, war, pestilence, and death. The question, are we still putting our trust in matter, in the shadow of Egypt, and in the strength of Pharaoh, is to be asked. And I thought it was interesting. I hadn't thought about that or that quote from Isaiah. The shadow of Egypt, the belief of life and matter, turning to matter to figure out what's going on instead of turning to God. Now, for further reading, I thought I didn't have a lot today, but actually I had a very much amount. In Martha,
this will take a while.
Yeah, Martha Wilcox, her "The Word Made Flesh" is very excellent in dealing with mesmerism and hypnotism. All right, it's a very important article to study. And then also, it was on the carousel this week about the illusion of animal magnetism by, what is it? Somebody Jensen,
yeah,
Daniel Jensen. That's an excellent article that explains it very well. And Chardell, can you just briefly share? It was something that Florence wrote.
Just two of them.
Yeah.
I have one power, God, and it's by, this is Roberts. I'll just read a little bit. More and more, I am learning not to make a reality of any so-called evil power. Having recognized the many isms and organizations or groups that attempt to present themselves as other powers, my responsibility is to hold steadfastly in my thinking to the fact that there is and can be no power apart from God. I must also know that a body influences me not, I'm sorry, that no body influences me nor could influence me. I pray for the courage to do God's will, to be where and when he wants me, and to know he alone governs my thoughts, speech, and actions. It is his love that inspires me and leads me.
Thank you. And that was a post from Florence a while ago.
Yeah,
thank you.
Yeah.
Did you want to add anything, Florence?
No, I don't think so. That's why I said, and I think the prayer also is saying the same thing. Only Spirit knows, right? God only knows. So that submission, absolute meekness to let God lead, let God be the one that you go to first.
Thank you. And then we cannot be hypnotized or mesmerized. We cannot. It's impossible. State the truth. It keeps us safe. So Gary's going to end with this very fine article by Herbert Eustace, "The Way Evil Argues," that has been also up on our carousel.
Yes, Herbert Eustace writes, "Evil's argument follows practically the same lines as any other argument. The only difference being that evil, through its channels of malicious minds, argues silently. Because the arguments of evil are silent, they are not less persuasive than arguments that are audible. An audible argument is more easily refuted than a silent one because it is out in the open where it can be seen. While the silent argument may be operating with you when you are least aware of it and are not on your guard, Its subtle attacks are felt in your body, in your home, your business affairs, and your world conditions. So be on your guard. Keep awake to the fact that any argument, whether it comes as your own thought or as the thought of another, is always malicious mind's argument. If it starts with effect and not cause, if it comes as some person, place, or thing that is wrong. This malicious argument will present itself in any and every way that can harass and distress you. It may appear as physical suffering, business losses, family discord, or any suggestion that you make that can make you doubtful of your ability to succeed in your purpose, whether it be healing a case of sickness or achieving success in any line. Its arguments will be directed especially toward discouraging you and embittering your disposition. It will suggest that you are of no possible use, that you cannot heal, or if you do heal, that is only temporary and the discord will return. Mrs. Eddy has repeatedly drawn attention to these as well as to many similar arguments. How much attention have you given to what she has so forcefully exposed? Do you continue with the same old routine? Or are you daily becoming more alert to what is taking place, no longer thinking that it is you who conjure up these impossible arguments? You must be positive that it is not a person, a place, or a thing that is at work, but malicious mind, the ever-operating affection of malicious mind, masquerading as intelligent power. If someone were audibly arguing with you, it could not seem more real than the silent argument of malicious mind endeavoring to make you accept its lies as your own mental volition. It argues just as directly, vigorously, and forcefully as a good lawyer arguing a case. It uses every cunning device to deceive you into believing that you yourself are the originator of your disturbed thinking. And should it succeed, you become its voice and its servant. As a Christian Scientist, you must not and cannot yield to such a palpable fraud. To do so would be fatal to your health, harmony, and progress. Mrs. Eddy counseled her students, first, find out what error is trying to do. Second, keep it from doing it. Third, see that it is not done. To destroy the negative arguments, the spirit of truth and love must be present and realized. Every presentation of sin, disease, death, and limitation, and every finite sense of person, place, and thing as entity apart from God must be translated back to God, the one mind, that God may be found all in all.
Thank you all for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.